Do please take your Bibles and turn with me, first of all, to Exodus chapter 20. I'm working through these commandments together. And we come to what is traditionally called the second table of the law today, with the fifth commandment. I want to read the first two verses and then to jump down to verse 12 and read from verse 12 to verse 17. So on pages 74 and 75 of the Maroon Bible. Exodus chapter 20 at verse 1. And then I want to read a few verses from the New Testament. This is God's word. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And then verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. And then turn over with me to Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 6. I'm just reading the first few verses of that chapter. It's on page 1146, 1146. Ephesians 6 at the first verse. And Paul is commenting briefly on what we've just been reading. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, I forgot to ask you what to be looking for in those passages. I'll just mention it now, even as we're looking at how Paul sums up the command. Why is this command in the place where it is? At the beginning, at the head of the second table, as we could call it. That word honor in the second verse. Honor your father and mother. What does honor mean? And as far as married people are concerned, how do we seek to obey this commandment? How do we honor our parents? Do take your Bibles, do have them open at the fifth commandment in Exodus chapter 20. Youth today love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority, no respect for older people, and talk nonsense when they should work. Young people do not stand up any longer when adults enter the room. They contradict their parents, talk too much in company, guzzle their food, lay their legs on the table, and tyrannize their elders. That sounds like somebody complaining about young people in the 21st century. But it's not. Do you know how long ago those words were spoken? Ancient Greece is right. Not 50 years ago, not 100 years ago, that's Socrates, the Greek philosopher who lived about 400 years before Jesus. You may have heard the term generation gap, which I think came in the 1960s. But the generation gap has always been there. Perhaps such things as pop music, with its call to rebel against authority, and more money available to young people now, as well as the age of computers and iPads and mobile phones, those things have maybe widened the generation gap. But it's always been there. And sad to say, most of this rebellion started inside the family. The very first sin that was ever committed was a wife disobeying what her husband had told her. And he just gave in to her. The very first murder took place inside a family and tore that first family apart. For a long, long time, the family, as God designed it, has been under attack. And it's not children who have started it. In certain parts of the country, in certain parts of this city indeed, it's hard to find a family with a father and a mother still together. So children aren't being brought up as God intended. If parents don't think much of their marriage, or of their husband or of their wife, the children quickly pick up that message. Before long, they'll be insulting their parents, their teachers, and anyone else who crosses their path. Why, these days we're not even supposed to complain if two men or two women set up home together and call it a family. And these days, once parents have begun to lose some of their sharpness, they get sent off to what have been called granny farms. Because mostly it's grannies who go rather than granddads. We may not be able to save our nation from destruction, but with God's help, can we not save our families? In such a climate, it has never been more important to study the fifth commandment, because here we have God's blueprint for families in just one sentence, really. God's blueprint for families. Verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And I want to get at what God is saying here by looking together at three aspects of this commandment. First of all, the position of the commandment. The position of the commandment. I'll just come back to that picture in a minute or two with the fifth commandment highlighted. The first three commandments deal with the most important thing of all: our relationship to the great God who has made us and who has rescued his people. In his first command, in verse 3, he tells us to worship only him. In his second command, verses 4 to 6, he tells us that his word is the only guide to worship him properly. And in the third command, in verse 7, he tells us to honor him in how we speak of him and in how we think of him. And then with the fourth commandment, which we studied a couple of weeks ago, verses 8 to 11, this is a kind of a bridge between God and us. Again, it's about worshiping God and giving him his proper place. We should set apart one whole day a week for that. But it also mentions other people and how we relate to them in verse 10. We shouldn't be making them work on the Lord's day. We should allow them freedom to worship God too. And then the rest of the commands from verse 12 on right through to verse 17 center on how we relate to other people. Although our relationship with God is behind these commandments as well. We can't behave properly towards others if we're still holding out on God, if we haven't submitted our lives to him. Now, if I were to give you a sheet with all the commandments on it, but mixed up in the wrong order, and asked you to rearrange them in the order of importance, I wonder where you would put the fifth commandment. Would you put it near the end of the list? Surely not killing someone is more important than honoring your parents. Aren't lying and stealing and taking someone else's wife more serious sins? But that's not the order that God has here. God puts the fifth commandment here at the top of the list of duties to other people. It's ahead of murder, it's ahead of adultery, it's ahead of stealing. Why? Let me ask you another question, and you can't answer this one. The first sin was Adam and Eve rejecting God's authority. Where do human beings first come into contact with authority? In the family. Exactly. I still remember an incident with one of our boys. He wasn't very old and was just learning to crawl. Mums and dads, I imagine you can think of something similar in your own family. There was an electric fire built into the room at floor level where it could be easily reached. Now, the fire was off, but this child headed to it and he held out his hand and touched it. To warn him of the danger, I said no, quite sternly to him. So he stopped for a moment, he turned round to look at me, and then he turned back to the fire and touched it again. So I took his hand and smacked it, not too hard, and said no again. He whimpered a little and crawled away. But in no time he was back at the fire, touching it again. Again I had to smack his hand and tell him no. This happened 5 or 6 times, with the smack getting that bit harder each time, until finally he got the message that he was to stay away from the fire. That was the beginning of his encounters with authority. Sadly, we don't come with a built-in love for authority. From our earliest days, we want our own way. And don't just believe me because I've said that. Check it out. Keep your finger in Exodus 20. Psalm 58. There's other verses we could choose, but just look at Psalm 58. Verse 3. It's on page 568. Psalm 58, verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. As one American preacher puts it, by nature we are as dumb as a rock. And that's why we have to be taught, even before we can speak, in a way we can understand. And if a child psychologist were here with us, he would be tutting and shaking his head at my behavior, if not contacting the nearest social services. But the book of Proverbs that I was praying about a wee bit earlier contains more than half a dozen verses like this. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. God has all kinds of plans for the family and for the home. He intends the home to be our first hospital, where we get our cuts and our bruises bandaged. The home is our first school, where we begin to learn about the wonders of God's world. The home is our first church, where we hear of God and his love, where we learn to praise him. And the home is our first government, where we first meet authority. Not enough parents today seem to love their children enough to say no to them and to reinforce that as God wants when they need to. Because if we don't respect authority at home, then we won't respect it at school or at college or from officers of government or in the church. So God knows what he's doing by putting this command where he does. Honoring our parents, obeying this command, means that we're much less likely to play fast and loose with the other commandments further down the list, to do with taking someone's life, or taking someone's wife, or taking someone's property. The other commandments actually flow from this one. I'm going to just put a word in here to grandparents and uncles and aunts and other relatives apart from parents. Those young relations of yours, don't spoil them. That word spoil, I think, is well chosen. If the parents of those children to which you're related have rules in place, don't try to undermine those rules. Don't make it harder for the children's parents to bring the children upright. I have this little theory in my mind that sometimes whenever a mother goes into the hospital to have the baby, the grandparents also check in to have their common sense removed. Doesn't have to be that way. Reinforce the rules. Build solidarity between the generations. So that's the position of the commandment. Let's look secondly at the practice of the commandment. The practice of the commandment. Honoring parents. That looks like that dad's getting a slap-up meal. The mum's just getting a wee bit of tender, loving care. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. And notice that it says, and your mother. Because sometimes children can have a different attitude to the mum, who tends to be around the home more often than the dad. And that word honor is a heavy word, literally. It's a word that is translated elsewhere as heavy or weighty. I came across this illustration the other day. I haven't tried the bowling lanes at the Brunswick Movie Bowl yet, but I don't think they're much different from other places. Just imagine that you're in the Brunswick Movie Bowl and the 10 Skittles are sitting there at the end of the lane on their spots. It's your turn to bowl. Instead of a normal bowling ball, you take a ping pong ball out of your pocket. How much difference do you think this ping pong ball is going to make to those 10 Skittles at the end of the lane? Not a pick of difference, no matter how hard you try and throw it. Now imagine a 16-pound bowling ball in the hands of an expert, a pretty heavy ball. And he bowls that ball right down the middle so that it hits the sweet spot at the front of the Skittles. How much difference will that ball make to the Skittles? It'll send them flying in all directions because it's a heavyweight ball, a ball we honor because of what it can do. Honor your father and your mother. Now, when parents speak, children aren't supposed to go flying in all directions. That's not what I'm trying to say. But the words of parents are to carry weight. Their advice is to make a difference and not just bounce off. What parents say is to tilt the balance in the decisions that their children make. Because the children honor their parents. They respect them, and they've learned often the hard way to obey them. Our parents are the ones who, in God's plan, have given us life. They're the ones who have preserved our life in big ways and in small. They have given the best and the most productive years of their lives to bring us up. They're the ones who very often have taught us the ways of God. They deserve respect, esteem, and value as gifts from God. God treats the dishonoring of parents very seriously. Just look on to Exodus chapter 21. Actually, chapters 21 to 24 are further explanations of some of the commandments. Just look at chapter 21, verse 15, on page 76. And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Or verse 17. And he who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. And in case you think these are isolated verses, turn over with me to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21, page 201. I just want to read a section here towards the bottom of the page. Deuteronomy 21 at verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil person from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. I'm sure you elders are glad that that's not one of your responsibilities today. But from this passage, from the son's behavior in verse 20, this is not a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old. There's a pattern of disobedience here that's gone on for years. He has become a glutton and a drunkard. He's totally out of control. But God will not overlook such an attitude. And the severe punishment, as verse 21 suggests, it's to send out a message to all the other children in Israel who might think of treating their parents the same way. When the Apostle Paul comes to discuss this commandment, he doesn't speak of punishment. He speaks of promise. And I'll explain why shortly. But just come over with me to that passage which we read earlier, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, page 1146. Paul's not talking about punishment, but in verse 1, he's still urging children to obey their parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it's not just one-way traffic. If you look at verse 4, there are instructions for fathers as well. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Don't lay burdens on their shoulders that they can't carry. And parents do need to know what burdens, what our children can manage, what they can't manage. But bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord, because God's burden is light. Let me tell you 3 simple ways to practice this commandment. As Paul is encouraging us to there in verse 1, quite obviously, quite simply, by obeying our parents, if we're still at home. By respecting our parents, if we're married now. If you're at college, if you're at university, you're still under your parents' authority. This was a much simpler thing in Jewish society. When a young Israelite man took a wife, He brought her to live in a room or in a wing added on to his parents' house. And he would continue to work for his father until his father couldn't work anymore. Now, with his wife, he would have formed a new unit. He wasn't bound to obey his parents as before, but because he was living so close to them, he was certainly bound to respect them, to value them. In the book of Leviticus, God says, "Rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God." Today, these attitudes are being less and less practiced. When so many people in the limelight today are so young. But we need to set our faces against the spirit of the age. If you haven't had any contact with your parents lately, that's those folk who have moved away from home, why not write them a letter, thanking them for their kindness? Why not phone them? Still give them their place, because they're your parents. Towards the end of the book of Genesis, we have an incident where Joseph, who by now is prime minister in Egypt, is reunited with his father. And old, frail Jacob walks, I would imagine, limps into the room. And how does Joseph respond? Joseph bows to the ground to greet, to honor his father, the prime minister of Egypt. I've heard of more than one unbelieving father whose heart was softened by the loving faithfulness of his Christian children. Obey your parents. Second thing, you can honor your parents by making allowances for your parents. It's the easiest thing in the world to criticize your parents, or for those who are married, to criticize your parents-in-law. Haven't all married people fallen into that one? But isn't that self-defeating? Because really, you're encouraging your children to criticize you one day. Parents aren't perfect. There's a very touching story about Noah and his sons. Noah, the man God told to build an ark to save mankind. One day later in life, Noah had too much to drink and was lying in an embarrassing position in his tent. The Bible doesn't spare our blushes. And one of Noah's sons saw this and reported it gleefully to his brothers. But the other two brothers took Noah's coat and behind them walked backwards into the tent and covered their father's disgrace. They were honoring their father, even when he didn't deserve that honor. Maybe there's not much honorable about your parents, but that doesn't mean you should despise them. Make allowances for them. Put their faults out of your mind. Treat them as you would want your children to treat you. Obey your parents, respect your parents, make allowances for them, and finally, honor your parents by caring for them. There was a time when they were bigger and stronger and wiser than you. That time may already have passed. But don't elbow your parents out of your life. Don't make them think they've become a burden. What does Jesus do for his mother when he's in agony on the cross? He provides a home for her. He provides a son for her when he is gone. He's still thinking about her when he's bearing the sins of the world. When your parents die, you may regret that you cared for them so little. But no one has ever been sorry for honoring his or her parents. To honor your parents is part of what it means to love God. If you're a believer today, that is your Christian duty. if you're not a believer yet, honoring the God you can't see does mean honoring the parents you can see. Let's come back once more to Exodus chapter 20. We've seen the position of this commandment at the head of the second table of the law. We've considered something of how to practice the commandment. And finally, we come to the promise in this commandment. The promise in this commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, this is not a blanket promise. It doesn't mean that if you look out for your parents as best you can, that you will surely live to the age of 80 or 90. What it did mean to the Israelites was that it would prolong their stay in the promised land. Obeying this commandment would mean that the nation could continue under God's blessing. For honoring what your parents tell you, when you want to honor them and when you don't, will bring you blessings in many ways. That's what this verse is saying. It will mean, speaking particularly to the young people, it will mean you'll stay away from poisonous substances and poisonous friends. It will mean you won't abuse alcohol or drugs. It will mean you will know what a godly partner will look like. It will shut the door to AIDS and suicide. What's more, good parents will speak to their children about the God they have come to know and trust and love, about Jesus who has lived and died for them, about the Holy Spirit who helps them every day. That's why, sadly, the children of Israel were sent into exile, because the parents forgot God and treated him as a lightweight, and because the children lost respect for their parents and broke the commandments. So like a great bowling ball, God had to bring his weight to bear on them in judgment. To finish, let's come back to Jesus. It's always good to do that with these commandments. Jesus obeyed Mary and Joseph perfectly, even though their care for him was less than perfect. In the carpenter's shop, Jesus never sighed when Joseph told him to do something. He never talked back. He never pretended he didn't hear. He never delayed his obedience. And that perfect obedience of the Creator of the angels, to an imperfect man who wasn't even his father, that perfect obedience is counted as your obedience, believer. And on the cross, Jesus pays for every time you have failed to honor your father and your mother, every time you have broken this commandment. That's why there's no more threat in Ephesians. Come back once more to Ephesians, please. Ephesians 6. As I say, Paul no longer is talking about punishment, he's talking about the promise. And Paul is holding out an even better promise. If you look at verse 3, Ephesians 6, verse 3, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. The fifth commandment talks about the land the Lord your God is giving you. Paul talks about the earth. If you confess how you have broken this commandment to God, if you believe that Jesus has kept this commandment on your behalf and died for your law breaking. Then he promises you a place in the new heavens and on the new earth. You may live long on the earth in that family where rivalry and disrespect and heartbreak are gone, and where instead there is love and honor and grace and praise. Let's stand as we come to God in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for these commands which you have put in place. And even in studying the position of this commandment today, we have seen that your wisdom is higher than our wisdom. Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of this commandment with respect to authority in our families, in your Son's church, and elsewhere. Help us to grow in obedience to this commandment. Help us to be honest with you where we have failed. Lord, for those of us who have tended either to idolize our parents or to ignore our parents, help us to see that we can never get this right until we are right with you. Help us to see the obedience of Jesus to you, his Father in heaven, and to his parents on earth, obedience that led him to a cross. Lord, may we come to the cross in sorrow for our sins and recognizing that we need you in this matter as in all other matters. Forgive us for our sin and help us to do better, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. We close our service by singing Psalm 128 together. Psalm 128 on page 324. And we sing all of this psalm to the tune Evening Prayer, number 246. And this is really a beautiful picture of the family as it should be. And the whole of the psalm is really based on the first line. Blessed are all who fear the Lord. And fear is not distant or distinct from love. The two words go hand in hand. Fear God. Honor God. Count him as weighty. Because he has saved his people, but he can also destroy. And as we just sing these lovely words together, this picture of a family working together and growing together and united together around God. May this be true of your family, your biological family, and of our family as Gateway Christian Fellowship, as he brings blessing to his church in stanza 4. Let's stand and praise him.
Rest on. Fear the Lord and who are walking in his ways. You will eat of your hands' labor, well and happy be your days. Like a vine with fruit abounding, in your house your wife is found, and like olive plants your children gathering your table round. See the man who fears the Lord, he will indeed like this be blessed. May the Lord from out of Zion cause you to be truly blessed. May you see Jerusalem prosper all your days till life. children's children, on all Israel be peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.